It's time for a solid hour of Tea Party Power with Mark Gillar.
Welcome to the Tea Party Power Hour. This is your host, Mark Gillar. Today, my special guest is Michael Zullo. He is the lead investigator for Sheriff Arpaio's Cold Case Posse. Mike, welcome to the show.
Hey, Mark. How are you? Long time no talk.
It has been a while. And as far as how I am, I'm a little ticked off, to be honest with you, because I don't know if you saw it yesterday, but Colin Powell, former Republican Colin Powell, was being interviewed on ABC by Diane Sawyer and George Stephanopoulos, and he essentially said the Republican Party has spent the last 4 years spreading birther nonsense and doing things that demonize the president. And he is now, get this, calling on GOP leaders to denounce such talk publicly.
Well, you know, I did hear that, and you know, I've been listening to Mr. Powell for a while now, and, you know, I know he says that he's a conservative or that he's a Republican, but I really don't hear that in what he says. The whole idea of demonizing the president and calling on, you know, members of Congress now or the Republican Party, the GOP leadership, to denounce that kind of talk, to me, is almost comical. As a matter of fact, it isn't the public that is doing anything to demonize anyone. It's been the story that's been set out by the administration. It's been the staunch opposition to any legitimate question. And then it's the production of a document that in our investigation we have proven beyond probable cause that it is, in fact, a forgery. And that leads to the question as to why. Why would anyone need to make this? Why was this particular image, it's not even a document, it's an image, used to bolster the case about a birth in Hawaii? Those are simple questions. And as a matter of fact, it should be the public outraged at elected GOP officials begging the question and the answer as to why aren't you answering our call to duty and look into this and give us the answers that we seek, because no one has done it yet.
You know, it's funny you mention that. I was talking to someone the other day who believes that Obama should be more transparent and release not just the birth certificate, but all these things that people are asking for. The microfilm of the Selective Service registration, the microfilm of the Social Security card application, as well as, of course, the microfilm of the original long-form birth certificate purportedly held at the Hawaiian Department of Health. And so she got on the phone, called her congressman, and when she was talking to the guy, one of the aides, she said, "Am I the only person who's ever called you on this?" And his response was kind of shocking. He said, "No, actually, we get at least one call an hour like this."
Is that a fact? I didn't.
Yeah, yeah. So they're getting one call an hour saying Obama needs to release his documents, and yet they do nothing. I think you're right, Mike. The public should be outraged. Now, one of the things that seems to be absent from any of Colin Powell's comments regarding the birth certificate, and by the way, he goes way back on this. When Obama released the long-form birth certificate, or at least what he said was the long-form, at whitehouse.gov, Colin Powell made some comment that he thought it was great that Barack Obama had shut Donald Trump up. I am not getting any refutation from Mr. Powell on the various anomalies that exist with the birth certificate, with the Selective Service card, with the Social Security card. He's basically doing a little demonizing himself. He's calling it all birther nonsense. I would say that, you know, if Colin Powell wants everybody to shut up about this and he wants the Republican Party to denounce it, do you think maybe something a little more specific in his argument than it's all nonsense should be forthcoming?
Well, I do, and that's always the blanket objection to whatever is getting done here. Look, going back to the beginning of our intercession into this matter on behalf of Sheriff Arpaio and the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office, we are not birthers. Mark, I don't even know what birther means. I mean, it's just a term that the media has come up with. Anybody who wants to question anything related to the early life of this individual is considered a birther. I mean, that is just nonsense. We're talking about a fraudulent document. We're talking about a document that has been created outside of the bounds of law, and it has been used and perpetrated in fraudulent representations to not only the people of Maricopa County, but to everyone in the state of Arizona and everyone in the state of the nation and around the world as proof positive. The president's own words, proof positive. I don't know what Mr. Powell's problem is, but I would have opened an invitation to him at my expense to come into Phoenix to the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office, and I will sit down with him and show him the evidence that we have accumulated that bring us to the only conclusion, the only logical conclusion, the only factual conclusion, that this document is manufactured. And if it's manufactured, the President of the United States at that point in time, I do believe, owes the American people an explanation. Tell us why. Because it shouldn't be. It is as simple as that. It's violated numerous statutes in the state of Arizona, and it's violated federal statutes by not only its creation, but by its public display and the manner in which it was used. It is very simple. Now, Mr. Powell is a very smart guy. I'm sure if he came down here and saw what we have, he would come out with a different tune.
I think he is a very smart guy. He's certainly proven that in the past, and I think it's pretty obvious from listening to his statements that, frankly, he hasn't lifted a finger to do any actual research. So, once again, Colin Powell, if you're listening, and as much as I'd like to think he might be, I doubt he's a regular listener of the Tea Party Power Hour. So for you listeners out there who would like to help us, please, please make sure that Colin Powell gets a copy of either the audio or the video that we're going to post on YouTube. Now, the other thing is, too, he's calling for the GOP to denounce this. What I would like to see instead is for the GOP, or for that matter, the Democratic Party, to denounce Barack Obama for promising that he was going to be the most transparent president that we've ever had in America, but instead has spent millions to keep from showing his original long-form birth certificate and millions to keep this thing out of court. Now, you hit on something very important a while ago, Mike. You said that this is not only a fraud perpetrated on the people of Maricopa County, but it's a fraud perpetrated on every single American. Yet, judges out there continue to throw this thing out of court without looking at any of the evidence because they're saying the people who bring the suit don't have standing. What's your take on the concept that every single American citizen who has been subjected to being ruled by this guy has standing?
Well, I do. I actually do believe that. I think at this juncture, especially with this current theme of bypassing Congress, making Congress irrelevant, and ruling by executive order in some form of dictatorship, I think every American has standing because at one point in time or another, every American is going to be harmed by something that is done outside of Congress. And I believe that does give you standing. And I think that you can make that case that you can claim that you're harmed and challenge the eligibility of the sitting president. I mean, that's just the way it works. So I don't really buy this. Look, the way that these things have been brought into courtrooms, a lot of these past, you know, attempts, I've been critical of in private and sometimes in public. I don't think they're doing it the right way. I don't think they're going about it the right way. I don't think you're going to settle the natural born citizen argument in some federal court sitting in California or any place like that. I don't think that's going to happen. But I think there has to be a different tact for this. I think a better tact would be perhaps maybe instead of GOP leadership trying to tell us that it's wrong and this should stop, maybe it's time for the very people that elect that GOP leadership to start telling them either you act or you're going to go away. Maybe it's time to put that kind of veracity behind this and tell them, just like they like to try to recall people in this state, maybe it's time that if you don't act, we'll find somebody who will in 2014. Maybe that's what it's going to take.
I think that's a great idea, Mike. And by the way, it's at this point I'd like to invite listeners to show Congress just how much you would like to see something done about this. We have a petition started. Over 5,000 people have signed it already. It's called congressdoyourjob.com. There, you can go there as well. In addition to signing the petition, you can actually leave a little note for Congress letting them know just how you feel about this issue and that you want something done. And by the way, if you want to tell them you're going to vote them out if they don't do something, as Mike has suggested, I think that would be a great note to leave. Now, one of the things about Colin Powell, and again, he's a very smart man, but I don't get the impression that he's a computer expert by any means, but I would like to challenge Colin Powell to explain to us why this document has nine layers and that those nine layers are not consistent with merely scanning a document into a computer and possibly optimizing it or putting it through OCR, optical character recognition software. There's really no good explanation for those layers. Mare is the best, a computer expert who's co-written two books on Adobe software, discovered, and I think this is very significant, that the color fill tool was used to give the document its color. Now, I'm sorry, there is no scanning and optimizing process where the color fill tool automatically starts giving color to various parts of a document. That's evident of a document being built in Photoshop one layer at a time. You know, and I've said this many times, the document doesn't match a picture that Savannah Guthrie took of it moments before it was purportedly scanned in to the computer and posted at whitehouse.gov. How can you have the original not matching what's on whitehouse.gov? There's so many problems with this document, and I think the biggest one is the way you can move the date stamps and the registrar's seal all around, and when you look at the links, you see that these things were brought into the document at 90 degrees off and had to be rotated 90 degrees. That doesn't happen from scanning a document into a computer and possibly optimizing it. And I don't want to get too technical, but the layers are not consistent with adaptive compression, mixed raster compression, or OCR software. This is a document that was built one layer at a time. And if Colin Powell has any explanations for anything I just brought up, which is not my original work, well, maybe one tiny piece of it was, step forward, Mr. Powell. Let us know. Explain to us how all these anomalies could be possible. And I would dare say he doesn't have an explanation for the phony postal stamp on the Selective Service card, nor the fact that Obama's Social Security number was issued in the wrong state to a person who was originally born in 1890. And frankly, thanks to Linda Jordan, we know that it wasn't capable of passing, or that it isn't capable of passing E-Verify. So if Colin Powell really believes in the Constitution, you know, does he have a problem with a Social Security number that doesn't even pass E-Verify because it's flagged as fake? I don't know. I mean, what's your take on this guy? I haven't heard him issue one single fact or refute one single fact that we've put forward.
You know, that's what you never hear that. You never hear somebody outside of a small circle. You have those individuals out there, Obama robots, Obots, whatever they call themselves, which I think they're really irrelevant outside of their own little circle. But those are the people that will get quoted in the press out here. I mean, these people that are on an agenda, they're on a mission. And none of them ever put forth any evidence to back up what they say. All they do is they throw out a straw man here, or they throw out a little blurb of something, and you're supposed to just walk away and negate everything that a law enforcement organization has done and believe that law enforcement is wrong and they're right. That's what they want you to believe. I have the answer for you, Mark. There is one answer on how it all happened. It was fraudulently created. It was done by human intervention. Somebody, and I believe maybe more than one person, sat at a computer and put this thing together on the level of a sixth grader, and they got caught. And this administration doesn't know what to do, so they stay silent in the background as they send out little minions to keep polluting the airwaves. Obviously, if Mr. Powell's on Diane Sawyer's show still talking about this issue, there must be some concern about this issue, because this is the proverbial thorn in the flesh. Only there's no grace for this thing. This thing is not going to go away because it's out there.
You mentioned some of these Obots. I think it was interesting that your local ABC affiliate in Phoenix latched on to someone and said, this person said they did the exact same test as the cold case posse experts. The cold case posse experts, as you know, did 1,200 tests and were unable to replicate anything even close to what got posted at whitehouse.gov by merely scanning a document into a computer. They tried every piece of available software that was available commercially. They tried every single setting on every single piece of software. Nothing produced that type of bizarre result with layers, things being brought in outside the document from 90 degrees, the color fill tool being used. Nothing produced those results. And when that particular expert was called on it on his website, he said that he had been misquoted by ABC News, which frankly I believe. I can see ABC News misquoting him intentionally. I don't blame the person that they quoted. I blame ABC News because I think they were wanting something that they could come out and say. I think it frightened them when they heard that you had run 1,200 tests, and they wanted to try to find a way to rebut that. But the bottom line is, in that particular story segment on your local ABC affiliate, the guy who was the anchor person said, well, it looks like we're heading down the same road again. And my first thought, Mike, was, yeah, if a local news station not investigating the facts and taking the word of someone that they haven't really vetted is going down the same road, then yes, we are going down the same road again. Because they will latch on to anybody or anything to try to rebut what the good legal work, the good law enforcement work that you and Sheriff Arpaio have done.
Well, and let me tell you something. I do agree with you, Mark, and I think what the media is doing is maybe behind a closed door they took a look at this thing, but they're never going to come out and tell you they did it because they're going to insulate themselves and say, well, you know, we were based on these sources if it comes out the wrong way for them. So they're going to hide behind not looking at it. It's kind of like hiding behind, I didn't read that in the contract because I never read the contract. You know, so I think what people really, you know, have to come away and understand something, and going back to the very beginning of this, and you mentioned Mara Zibest. Mara Zibest was the first individual that we contacted. And this is no slight on Mara whatsoever. She did excellent work. Except as an investigator, I did not take what she did as the gospel truth. I actually went out and had people examine what she did. And they came to the same conclusions that she did. Some of them tried to debunk her and couldn't debunk her work. So this isn't just us taking information from somebody and running with it. That's what's going on for 13 months of this investigation, was trying to find the flaws in the work. There is no flaw in the work. This document has been fraudulently created. There's just no other way around this. And I am really starting to get incensed over people trying to dismiss this as demonization of the President of the United States. It's not. It's a fraudulent document. We are not birthers here. This is about document fraud and frauding of our citizens. That's what it's about. And those questions, come hell or high water, one day will be answered, because this document is fictitious. If this was a check, you couldn't cash it. If this was a driver's license, you would be arrested. It's as simple as that.
I think it is as simple as that, and unfortunately, we have a media that has circled it, you know, their wagons, or in this case, maybe their news vans, and decided that this issue is not going to be discussed. And one of the news vans in that little circle is Fox News. So we can't get the conservative media to do anything about this. I was on the phone this morning trying to see if I could get some play on some of the bigger conservative radio shows, and you can't get past the call screeners if you want to talk about this, even with Colin Powell making it a current event by bringing it up yesterday on ABC News. So the bottom line is that the evidence is there. If it were you, Mike, if it were me, we would already be facing charges on this. But apparently we live in a country where Colin Powell and others think that there's a special set of rules for the president. I'm sorry, I don't think executive privilege in any way allows a president to break the law or not answer questions about their own eligibility to serve. But apparently some people do.
You know, Mark, this also goes to, you know, the fact that there is no federal organization, no governmental organization that vets a presidential candidate. And as we were told by the federal government themselves, that the vetting of the president in that position happens through three mechanisms. One is the Constitution. Second is the loyal opposition, and third is the media. We have been prevented from vetting this individual over this issue. The media refuses to talk about it, or if they do talk about it, they don't represent the truth in it. Every press conference that we did, the media turned it into something that it wasn't and never stuck to the facts. They never showed people across this nation. First of all, national media wouldn't cover it, but even our local media didn't do it. They didn't show us. They didn't show that work to any extent. They just tried to figure out ways they can get sound bites of somebody else attempting to debunk what we did. And that's the word. That's the buzzword, debunk. Debunk, it takes more to debunk something than spewing some twisted logic or lies against factual evidence. You have to prove your evidence trumps the evidence that we have. And nobody can do that because it can't be done. Why can't it be done? Because the document is a fraud.
Plain and simple, the document is a fraud. And I would add to that that he has many documents that support his life narrative that are a fraud. And for a lot of people out there who think this is an attempt to smear Obama, or maybe this is even a conspiracy to smear Obama, I would remind you that in the early 1960s, the INS, in writing, expressed doubt about Barack Obama's birth and who the father really was. Did the conspiracy to smear Obama and demonize Obama with what Colin Powell calls nonsense begin with the INS in the 1960s?
That's a great point. Did it really begin there? Let me just put this out there for you too, Mark.
Okay.
You have to go back. Just think about everything that you've been told. You've been told Obama Sr., the Kenyan, is the father, with nothing more than two or three photographs. No other evidence of that. INS records that actually challenge, actually come out, investigators for the INS saying, we don't believe this marriage really took place, it's a sham. You've got Stanley Ann Dunham, the purported mother, without a single photograph of her pregnant, without a single photograph of her holding her newborn son, without any photograph of her in a hospital holding that newborn son, not coming out of the hospital. There's no first birthday picture. There isn't a picture of her pregnant. There's not a picture of baby Obama, you know, as an infant on the beach in Hawaii when this is Hawaii. I mean, come on. I mean, it's absent of so many things, but you're pointed to a photograph and a narrative, and you're told to believe that. Well, in what we do, we just can't believe that. We have to look for verifiable evidence to support that allegation. There is no verifiable evidence. I can't find it.
Well, I think it's interesting that if any Republicans spent a couple of million dollars to avoid coughing up a record, let's say Mitt Romney had spent a couple of million dollars to avoid having to cough up any of his income tax returns or whatever, liberal Democrats in the media would be holding that out as proof positive that he had something to hide. They would be saying, what kind of a man would spend $2 million to avoid showing us these records when he could just show them to us and get this all over with? But because it's Barack Obama, nobody questions it. Look, there are legal documents, Mike, that show Barack Obama being listed as Barack Hussein Obama Jr. There are legal documents that show him as being listed as Barry Satoru. There are legal documents that show his legal name as Barack Hussein Obama Sobarka. And then at some point he goes back to using Barack Hussein Obama again. Wouldn't you think that at least one member of the media would be curious as to exactly when and where he used each of these legal names and what the legal mechanism was for him to change his name each time and then change it to something else and then finally change it back to what it was on the birth certificate. Also, as part of that, wouldn't it be interesting to know if any of that affected his citizenship or if at any point he officially relinquished his U.S. citizenship, for example, possibly after being adopted by Lulo Satora, his mother's second husband? I mean, don't you think those are questions they would ask of Sarah Palin or Dan Quayle or George W. Bush?
I can tell you that if Sarah Palin produced a document like this, and even if she was soundly defeated, they would never let you forget it. They would never let you forget it. It's just a one-sided, lopsided system we have here, and you can't get a vetting of everybody if the media is in the tank for one of the players. It just doesn't happen. And to answer your question, you go numb at these name changes. You just, it's like, I don't understand why anybody would do this. What's the point of doing this? Why would you do this? Do you not know who you are? How do you know who you are any given day? You just decide to wake up and become somebody else? You have a narrative in a book, a memoir, at 35 years old, I believe, that Mr. Obama wrote when he was virtually a nobody. And that gets proven to be nothing but a collaboration of composites. What's a composite? Either you had a girlfriend or you didn't. What's a composite? We're going to blend them all together? Kind of like that that movie Weird Science. I guess you just plug it into the computer and make your own.
Well, I think that book that was written by the Washington Post guy, I'm sorry, his name escapes me at the moment, it could easily be retitled, Barack Obama Had a Girlfriend? Really, he did. Really?
Yeah.
That's the title of the book. Really, he had a girlfriend, believe us.
Yeah.
Why don't you right now re-extend that invitation to Colin Powell and go ahead and speak right now as if you're speaking to him? Mike, I'd like to close the show by allowing you to re-extend that invitation to Colin Powell to visit you guys in Maricopa County.
Well, Mark, let me actually go one step further. Not only is it open to Mr. Powell, it's open to any congressman, any senator who wants to come down to the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office, visit with myself and Sheriff Arpaio, and I will sit down with you and I will go through this document and the other evidence that we have collected that has not been made public yet and demonstrate for you how we know that this document is 100% a forgery. I am offering to do that. And for Mr. Powell, I will fly him in at our expense. I will put him in the finest resort at our expense to come in and look at this document and tell me, after he sees what I show him and what I can prove to him, how it could be anything other than a fabricated image.
My take is, if he does not take you up on this, then he's not interested in the facts. He's saying, damn the facts, full speed ahead with denouncing the Republican Party and accusing the Republican Party of demonizing Obama over this issue. I mean, I think this is serious because this isn't just, you know, somebody on the internet saying, well, I'll pay for Colin Powell. This is the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office cold case posse, which is funded by donations, so no taxpayer money being spent here, saying, Mr. Powell, you've said this is all birther nonsense. Why don't you come visit us and let us show you the evidence, or do you prefer commenting on this issue without having seen any of the evidence? You know, one would think, as a general, he wouldn't make battle plans without first doing research and gathering information on the enemy. One would think that before he publicly came out and supported the authenticity of this document, that a man of his intelligence, a man of his record of accomplishment, would have said, before I open my mouth and I put my own personal reputation on the line, I'm going to actually look at all this evidence. I would be willing to bet, but of course, let's wait and see how this plays out, but I would be willing to bet that in the end, he's not going to be able to explain a single one of the anomalies, and his jaw is going to hit the desk or hit the floor the same way the rest of ours did when we began looking at this information. Look, I know in the beginning you didn't believe this because I had conversations with you. I can tell you the same thing. I used to say that the birthers were crazy. I used to say, let's put the birthers and the 9/11 truthers on a spaceship and shoot them off to Mars where nutty people like that belong. But then something happened that changed my mind. Obama posted what he said was his birth certificate at whitehouse.gov, and experts throughout America began immediately ripping that thing apart. I still didn't believe it until I bought a copy of Illustrator and began searching through this document one layer at a time. But you know what, Mike? You don't have to be a computer expert. You can take this thing on any photo viewer and blow it up to like 200-400%, and you can see the inconsistencies in resolution of different things that were dropped into the document, like the one in the upper right-hand portion of it. That obviously came from somewhere else, and the forger was so bad, and we've talked about this many times, the forger was a joke because he probably had to get somebody within his inner circle to do it, that they didn't even consider making sure that the resolution of the items they brought into the document matched the overall resolution of the document. The whole thing is a joke. You don't have to be an expert to look at it, but we have had experts look at it, or you've had experts look at it, and we know this. So I just want to say this. Colin Powell says it's time for the GOP to denounce the quote-unquote birtherism nonsense and to publicly denounce those who are attempting to demonize Barack Obama. I would say that it's time for Colin Powell to stop demonizing people who are insisting that the U.S. Constitution be adhered to. This is put-up or shut-up time for Colin Powell. If he's not willing to come to Maricopa County and look at this evidence, and if he says, I have my opinion, I've made up my mind, I don't want to have it confused with a bunch of things called facts, I don't want to have it confused with a bunch of things that fall into the category of evidence, if he's unwilling to take you up on your very generous offer of an all-expenses-paid trip to Maricopa County to look over this evidence, including some that I know hasn't been released to the public yet. If he's not willing to look at the evidence, then from this point forward, it's time for him to shut up. It's time for him to close his mouth and quit discussing it, because obviously he has an uninformed opinion that is in no way based on looking at the evidence or having done any research. He wouldn't conduct military operations this way. He needs to be more careful of what he does in civilian life, because frankly, right now, to everyone who's seen the evidence, Colin Powell looks like a fool.
I have to be honest with you, for a long, 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 long time, I had the highest admiration for Colin Powell, and you know, and I still do. I don't know if this is his attempt on trying to bring the parties together, but I have to tell you, with the most recent assaults on our constitutional privileges and the plan that's being laid out now, especially after the last speech, I don't think that's going to happen. And we're not the sheriff's office does not want to be lumped into the birther movement. This is not about a birther quote issue for us. This is not a bunch of blogsters blogging conspiracy theories. This is now proven fact for us. We know what we have. I have evidence that has not been released yet. I mean, we have some substantial evidence that has not been released to the public yet. And until the sheriff decides he wants to do that, it's still going to remain with us. But we have the evidence. The document is fabricated. He's welcome to come down here and I'll prove it to him. I'd go over there. You put me in front of anybody over there in 30 minutes. I will prove it to you. And no matter who comes up with any other kind of theory, the fact remains, if you don't march in with evidence and proof of what you're saying, you might as well hold your breath and hold your tongue, because we're not going to accept it. You can say this could be because of this and Y could happen because of Z. Unless you can actually make it happen, there's no point in talking to us about it. And there's no point in talking to anybody else about it. And the media does a disservice when they do that. Don't just take somebody's word, make them prove it, because that's what we did. We proved it.
Very good. Mike, I want to thank you for being here today. I want to remind everybody once again to go to congressdoyourjob.com, sign that petition, and let Congress know that you expect them to do something about this, because they can and will be replaced in 2014, at least the House will and some members of the Senate, if they do not take action on this. We're tired of watching Obama skate. He's going to skate on Benghazi. He's going to skate on Fast and Furious. You know, he's skated on violating the War Powers Act whenever he dropped bombs on Libya without congressional approval. This particular president continues to skate on all issues. The evidence has been collected. Let Congress know you're not going to accept it. Either they're on our side, or the Republicans in Congress are on our side, or the two-party system, as Alan Keyes said when he was on the show yesterday, the two-party system is a sham. So with that, we're going to close out. Mike, thank you once again for being here. Give my best to Sheriff Arpaio, and we look forward to future updates regarding new evidence from the cold case posse.
All right, well, thank you, Mark. Thanks for the time.
You've been listening to the Tea Party Power Hour with Mark Gillar.